Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Need expert advice on your family's health? Speak to us today at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Brian Meehan, good afternoon.
How are you, Brendan?
And Brian, people might know your name from being the man who has taken on the Park Hotel in Kenmare from John and Frances Brennan, but they might not know much else about you. So you've been out of Ireland for a while. You've had a very successful career in business. You've made a lot of money, and we'll come to all that. But you've an interesting background. So you were born in London. What were your parents doing in London?
My dad was in the rag trade. He went over there, and my mum, I think they met in Finchley. And so, like a lot of Irish, you know, back in those days, you left Ireland and you got a job in London, and they were both living there. So that's where I was born. And then I came back to Ireland when I was five.
Yeah, and your dad opened a shop on Wicklow Street. I believe it was quite the trendy clothes shop in Dublin.
Yeah, he had a store in East London called Paul Mark. So he started in the fashion world there, and then. He then decided to bring the family back to Ireland and opened on Wicklow Street, Paul Mark. And he got the agency for Captain America Jeans. That would have been around, I think it was around 1974, 75. And yeah, it was the rage in those days.
Okay. But then things changed quite dramatically then for him and for the family, yeah?
Yeah, I mean, basically, I think the oil crisis hit in 1979 and the economy went downhill massively. My dad, you know, had a lot of debt, and the bank took over the business and took over our house. And we lived in a house in Leopardstown, and we got kicked out, and we ended up down in a very small house down in County Wicklow, and he had to sort of start all over again.
Okay.
It was an interesting experience.
Yeah, for you as well. How old were you?
At the time, I was 11.
Okay.
Yeah.
And did your life change quite dramatically?
My dad, you know, was what they would call a session alcoholic. So when things went wrong, he would turn to the drink and disappear.
Okay.
When things got bad, there was a lot of on my mum's shoulders. There were four kids within 3 years, because I had twins and an elder brother. So there was a lot of responsibility on my mum, and she was a house cleaner. And we just made it work, basically.
She made it work.
She made it work, basically. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. And you were in private school at that stage, where
you were in
Gerrards in Bray, which is a very posh school.
It is.
Were you pulled out of that, or what happened?
So my mom left home when she was probably 12 or 13. Didn't have much of an education. From Tinahely in County Wicklow. My dad was an orphan by the age of seven in Clonakilty in County Cork. The question was what again?
It was about school and you
yeah,
and
so,
the change.
So, yeah,
so they were very ambitious for you then,
my
when
mom,
they got the
sorry,
money, like
you,
the best education.
But my mum wanted the best for me.
Yeah.
And so we were going to go to the best school in Ireland, in her mind, it was St. Gerrard's.
Yeah.
And then my dad, after his business went bust, walked into the headmaster, Michael O'Horn, and said, I've got to take my kids out of school. I can't afford it. And credit to St. Gerrard's, they wouldn't let us go. They put us on a scholarship and said, you know, your family's too important to the school.
Wow.
And that's why I've never forgotten the school for the rest of my life. They're amazing. And they recognize that there are times when people have trouble. There are people who have it and people who don't have it. But it was good for the diversity of the school to have a family like ours there. And I will always be appreciative of them and other headmasters around Ireland to do the same.
Were you treated differently by your peers after it became clear that you didn't have money anymore? There's an awful word that I've heard used in those kind of schools in South County Dublin, which is povs.
What does that mean?
Povs.
People.
Poor people. Yeah.
Oh, povs. Yeah. I mean, I think at Gerrards, I always felt poor, honestly.
Yeah.
So my mum would pick us up in a Fiat 850, and the four of us would get into this tiny car, while all the BMWs and Mercedes were coming in. It's life lessons, you know. It's like how you learn to deal with that and have a sense of self and know what's important. But yeah, I was teased, and we had a tiny house, and, you know, people would comment on it. But I think it's all part of life's lessons, and you realise what's important in life.
Yeah, I'd say it stays with you and crystallizes values in that, does it? An experience like
so.
That.
I think so. I mean, giving back is a very important thing for me. I think I probably learned it from that experience that, you know, I've had a lot of good fortune since those times. My mum and dad worked very hard for me and my family, and so it's part of like giving back to the community, giving back in every way you can, and so that's part of my values and philosophy now.
So tell me about your own business career then. So I think your father kind of regrouped and went into the motor trade, did he? And you started there with him, is that right?
Yeah, he was an amazing entrepreneur. I mean, even though he had some terrible times, I mean, he was an orphan at seven, so I can understand where it all came from. But he got himself back on his feet. He started as a sales rep in the motor trade and then very quickly started his own business importing from Japan and Taiwan. And I was 15 at the time, and I was just interested in business. So I'd work with him, and I'd go around calling on places. And when I was 17, I got my driver's license. I had a Renault 4, and I'd drive around Ireland to all the motor factors, from Kingdom Auto Factors, through to Rathgar Auto Factors. I would go around selling oil filters and collecting checks from my dad.
Okay.
And that, again, was another great life experience.
Yeah. So you learned the hustle then early.
Mm-hmm.
And then what's the shape of your own career then? How did you start out in business?
So I then decided that I went to Trinity College and I got, I decided that I shouldn't continue with my dad. I should go out and get a job myself because I was curious, and I got offered a job from Guinness to go and be a sales rep for them. So I ended up being an Irishman selling Bell's whiskey to the Scots. That was my first job. And again, I had to go to working men's clubs in Stirling, and they'd see this Irish guy walking in with his Posturton case and Bell's whiskey, and they'd ask me to sing Danny Boy or something. And that's, I think if you could sell Scotch whiskey to the Scots, then it gave me the confidence that I could, do a lot more. And then I went, furthered my studies. And then after I met my wife, Tara, she was big into organic food. I never knew what organic food was. Now, this is back in 1996. She was into organic food. And I thought, well, I could maybe make a career out of this, because not many people I know much about organic food. This is a long time ago now, 1996. And so I started this company in London called Fresh and Wild. And it was like a grocery store of organic food. And that was my first sort of lucky break in life.
I'd say people thought you were mad in one
Nuts.
Way, but the
Nuts.
Timing was right,
was great.
Was it?
Yeah, and Whole Foods, which was this company in America, came and wanted to use my company as their platform of Whole Foods in England or UK, which is there now.
Okay, and we know Whole Foods now part of Amazon, isn't it?
Whole Foods is sadly part of Amazon, yeah.
So what did you do next?
Then I met with Ali Hewson, and she was very keen to do something with me with the brand Nude. They had the rights to the brand Nude. And
this was cosmetics?
Cosmetics. And we thought, well, we could come up with because I had been in organic, natural food and cosmetics.
Yeah.
We talked about the idea of actually bringing, I think women felt that natural skincare didn't work. But if we came up with a brand, that was highly efficacious, that people would get more confidence of using natural products. So we launched that in Ireland and the UK and in America. And that was sort of a stepping stone for me then to go to America, which I did in 2008 or 2009 when the major crisis happened here.
Yeah.
And I came across a company in America called Blue Bottle Coffee. And I pulled together a group of investors to buy the company in 2011. And then that was the beginning of just it's like 3FE here in Ireland, specialty coffee.
Okay.
It took off in that period in America. And then I opened stores in Japan, Korea, Hong Kong, and then across like New York, LA, San Francisco, DC and Boston. And then that just became a very...
Were you not late coming to the coffee shop boom at that stage?
It was 2011. So, and it was specialty coffee. So,
okay.
What I would call delicious coffee. Yeah.
Okay. So it was a new wave of, and again, this sense of consciousness and sustainability and all that kind of stuff is
I've always
as well,
been
yeah?
in sustainability. It's in my blood, you know, it's what I do. So every, you know, the, in terms of where we source our coffee, you know, the in terms of the welfare of people growing our coffee, organic and beautifully sourced from around the world, and then how we treat our people, how we roast our coffee and the packaging, the whole offering to consumers. We used organic milk, for example, in the cafes, was very important to me.
Yeah. And the thing is, it's funny, we were talking in the first hour there about how talking to farmers and trying to make them understand this can be good for you as well. Like, people view being sustainable as a thing that costs money. But I think Blue Bottle demonstrates there that it's a huge business opportunity as well, right?
Yeah, I mean, the food and also the food system in America, I can't speak for it here as much, but it's so processed that food, yeah. It's not like, is organic food too expensive? Is the processed food too cheap? And so, you know, where you buy your, you know, I know we have to have cheap chickens in Ireland and, you know, people can't afford to pay up.
But our cheap chickens are gourmet compared to the yolks you get in America.
Yeah, like, yeah. So it's just the welfare of the animal and how it's been brought up and what antibiotics it's had and growth hormones. And it's crazy, you know, why there's so many people with health issues today, because they really were screwing around with the food system.
Yeah. So you're out of Blue Bottle now?
I'm on the global sustainability board of Nestle, and I'm still an employee of Blue Bottle. And we're bringing the Blue Bottle coffee to the Park Hotel next week. So I have a team of people from Blue Bottle right now.
Okay.
That was one of the things with Park. I thought, I mean, there's not a lot I needed to improve with the Park, but one of the things I thought could be good to improve at the Park would be the coffee. So you can now get Blue Bottle coffee at the Park Hotel.
Okay. So will we see Blue Bottle rolling out in Ireland?
I think this is more of a collaboration with me because okay. of that. Okay. Blue Bottle's not in Europe yet.
Okay.
But at some point they will come. I think they were doing me a favour because of my relationship with the company.
Okay. So before we get to the Park Hotel then, tell me about Drumgarriff then. This because I think this was your path to the park ultimately, but this is a rainforest in Glengarriff.
Correct.
Explain what it is to me and then explain to me what drew you to this.
So it's the site of the original Roach's Hotel, and so it's this beautiful ancient Irish oakwood rainforest, which I was interested in investing back in Ireland. Like I had a little bit of money and I wanted to come back to Ireland. I'd been 30 years out of Ireland, and so I was looking to try and get a foothold back in Ireland. And when I saw this land that was for sale, I was just intrigued, and I asked someone to come and see it, and he reported back to me that it's actually an official ancient Irish oakwood rainforest. There aren't many in Ireland. Owen Dalton's written a book about Irish rainforests. He's on the Bear Peninsula, so there's a few pockets of the climate down there that actually encourages a rainforest to grow. But there was it was originally part of Roach's Hotel, which burnt down in 1910, and then since then the land was just left alone. And a German guy bought it, I think around the late 80s, and he built 5 holiday homes on the property. And so I saw this property and I thought, here's a way of me doing something that I'm very passionate about, which is restoring the rainforest to its former glory and taking out all the non-native species of rhododendrons and myrtles that have just taken over the property. And so I'm busy working on that. It's on the Bay of Glengarriff, right beside where Maureen O'Hara had her house.
Mm.
And it's just one of the most magnificent, beautiful places in Ireland.
Okay, but this is not a business, is it?
I mean, it's not. I mean, it is. Yeah. I wouldn't call it. I'd say it's a passion.
Yeah.
And it's a responsibility. So my daughters were very quick to tell me that, you know, you're not owning this property. You're a steward of it, and you're looking after it. So
okay.
Yeah, it's something that I would love to restore and make accessible, you know, for people to know what a real Irish rainforest looks like.
Okay. Are your daughters are telling you what's what these days?
I call my daughters my teachers.
Okay.
Yeah, they're so 25, 22 and 19 now. And I've gone from teaching them the best I can, but now they're teaching me, especially around capitalism and around sustainability. And they're very outspoken, and that's good for me.
Okay, yeah. So would you say what you're practicing, is it a conscious capitalism, or how do we characterize it?
I would say, I think it is. It's probably talking to my daughters about it. We'd call it maybe post-capitalism.
Okay.
But capitalism right now doesn't work.
Yeah.
Right. So there's too much of a gap between the rich and the poor. And so even though in Ireland, which is more of a socialist country, which does provide healthcare and education, there still is too much of a gap between rich and poor. So something still is not working with capitalism. And so the younger generation, I think, will move that movement forward to make sure that capitalism is working for everybody. Right now, it doesn't work for everybody.
Okay. So obviously it's worked for you. Up to
has
now.
Worked for me.
But
yes.
So is the way you view it that the money you have is a responsibility to be used with purpose? Would that be a way of?
I think so. Yes, for sure. We have a responsibility. Absolutely. And so at the Park Hotel, for example, one of the things I'm working on is community. The town of Kenmare have been incredible with me, of welcoming me. But it's part of the, when I think about the word I use at the park is care. Sort of caring for our guests, caring for our people, like the people who work at the park are the best in Irish hospitality. Caring for the planet, which is another thing, the hotels in Ireland, we need to do more of, and certainly the park will do more. And then finally, caring for the community. Like, the community is a very special part of the park for me. And I had this community event for Kenmare back in January. 600 people came to the hotel, and the response from that community has been incredible. And someone said, like, part of sustainability is recognizing your community. I think we've lost touch with our community. And, more than ever, that's important in Ireland. That's what we've been built on, is strong community.
And going back a step, why did you decide to buy the park?
It's a great question. I was obviously happy at Drumgariff and doing my work at the Drumgariff Rainforest, and then the Brendan's put the hotel up for sale. I had gone to the park, I'd go there for lunch, I'd stayed at the park while I was trying to purchase the Drumgariff property. When it came up for sale, I was kind of intrigued by it. And my daughters, again, we have this agreement that we don't buy anything without their approval. And I said to them, I was thinking of buying a hotel, and they're like, that is nuts. You can't buy a hotel. No more buying of stuff, Brian.
Yeah.
But when they came to see it, they were very intrigued too. And they felt it was a great opportunity to build a community, especially over the Cahir Pass from Glengariff to Kenmare. And there was a lot of synergies between the two. And John Brennan, in fairness to John and Francis, they wanted another family to own the park. They didn't want it to go to another chain or an international chain. They wanted an Irish family to own it. And so I stepped up.
Yeah.
And I'm having fun. And
you're not regretting it yet?
No, not yet. No. Ask me in a year's time.
Okay. And are you going down today? You're changing the coffee. I believe you're changing the art.
There's new art going into the park. I've been collecting art now for 30 years. My mum and dad were very small, modest art collectors of Irish art, but that's where I got my love of Irish art. And so there's a Sean Scully, the whole room devoted to Sean Scully, happening at the park this week. The dining room is going to be called the Sean Scully Room. There's going to be a new restaurant called Landline, which is named after him. And then there's going to be a Dorothy Cross Terrace that has all of Dorothy's works and other works by female artists. And then I have a whole international collection of artists that are coming in. So it's not just Irish art. It's art from the States, from Korea, from Japan, everywhere that I've been in the world, where I've had an impact or I've learned from the communities in those places. So a lot of artists of color, a lot of female artists, and a lot of works that I think would represent the philosophy of our family and what we stand for.
Okay, so you're post-colonialising the whole situation.
Yes.
Come here, what would your mother think if she knew you were going down today?
My poor mum, I saw her yesterday. She's in a nursing home.
Yeah, how aware is she of that?
She's not aware. She has dementia, God bless her. And I saw her yesterday. She's a little bit angry. And then I played Frank Sinatra, I Got You Under My Skin, on my phone. And then she put a smile on her face and she started dancing with me, which was nice.
Yeah.
But I'd love to bring her down to the park, but I can't really bring her out of the nursing home. But I think she'd be super proud.
Yeah, a long way from whatever modest little bit of art she had.
Well, you know, it wasn't. It was like beautiful McGonagalls and like
really, yeah.
Like at the time, you could buy them for 50 pounds or £25. But yeah, she'd be proud.
And Camille, I believe there was another lovely little kind of moment of circularity as well when you bought the park. And someone who had known your dad or had a connection with him.
It was a really strange moment. Eilish was asking me about this before the show. I had this community day and one of the local councillors came up to me and said, I heard from the Cliffords that your dad, there used to be a bakery in Kenmare called Clifford's Bakery. And I heard from the Cliffords that your dad used to work with them when he was like, he was in an orphanage and then when he left an orphanage at 15,
right.
And I actually didn't know where he went, but it turns out he went to Kenmare. I had this shiver. I was like, so I did scatter his ashes. He died last year. I scattered his ashes in certain parts around Drumgarriff and a small part around the park and a special place to me. And my kid said he'd come back as a robin. And sure enough, every time I'm there, the robin appears. It's really, like,
really
amazing. Yeah.
And Camille, can I ask you just a bit more about your dad? So where was he in the orphanage?
In Cork.
Right.
Yeah, so he lost his mom at 7, he lost his dad at 8. His dad had actually remarried in between, he worked for Ford. His new wife put the kids in the orphanage and took the pension and they were all like left there and obviously that had a massive impact on him.
Yeah, yeah. And he came out of 15, did he go to a family in Kenmare then?
No.
He made his own way in the world from
yeah,
there.
He had brothers in London. He did a job in Kenmare and I think he was in London by the time he was 16 or 17.
It's an extraordinary family epic and journey, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah.
So I'm proud of them.
And it's all...
They worked very hard for me, I have to say. Yeah,
yeah.
And my siblings.
All ending up back there today. You'll be putting the Sean Scullys up on the wall. Okay. A lot of text. Sustainability is the difference between capitalism and greed, says something else. Like your guests, we need more of the mindset. I'm liking this, conscious ownership. I hope it's a model for the future, says someone else. As long as Ireland has such people as your guests, the brand Ireland is safe and well. Delighted to hear Brian and all his success, says Nora Owen. I served on the UK Board of Concern with Brian and he was an inspiration. And if you don't mind me reading this one, someone who was in... your class in Jersey never knew of his family struggles. All I knew was that after the intercert, he certainly seemed really brainy and aced the results, brains to burn and a lovely guy. Proud of you,
oh,
Brian.
That's so
from
nice.
That's from Juliana. Will you be buying more stuff? I'd say everyone will be queuing up now to try and buy their various follies.
The daughters will not let me buy anything else.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's it for Ireland for the
time being. That's part of capitalism, so stop acquiring things.
Okay, yeah. Brian Meehan, thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Brendan.
Email brendan@rte.ie.